welcome to Thursday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio, broadcast worldwide, courtesy of the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you with us here today. It is Thursday, September 22nd, 6 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. And once again, the Central Time Zone looking to take a beating. Second time in about 30 days here, folks. Actually quit, I guess, maybe 3 weeks even. It's just unprecedented what is happening with Hurricane Rita. Now, if you haven't heard the news, as of yesterday, it was a Category 5. Still a Category 5, but let me tell you, if they had a 6 on the scale, it probably would be a 6. It is, it's amazing. And Clint and I were just sort of bouncing some things off each other, things we've heard, things we've seen. And, you know, we might see something here, folks, that we've never seen, which is the expansion of this hurricane grade scale to actually include a Category 6. Just because, you know, in the span of 30 days, you're seeing two things heated, basically. The comparable spread of wind velocity for the different categories. It's like, if there was a 6, it would be a 6. Same thing with Katrina, and now probably with Rita as well. And if you're watching some of these satellite imageries of the storm, you can see it is unbelievably big. It's just like Katrina was. It's enormous. It's slow-moving. The water is warm. The bands are covering pretty much all of Florida. It's starting to shift a little bit, possibly moving a little further north. So there's just so many different things going on here. Obviously, that's going to be the focus of our news segments today. It's going to be really powerful stuff. Now, our guest will be Zeph Daniel, who is a member of the Republic Broadcasting Network family. He'll be joining us in the latter half of the show in about 2 hours. Until then, we're going to do a lot of news and focus on some things. But I do want to, again, drive home the importance of preparedness, of health, of safety. Do what you got to do, folks. I know that there's a lot of good people in Texas who, you know, could very much be affected by this. Now, they're projecting that by the time it makes landfall, it'll probably be a Category 4. But, you know, since when are they ever right about any of this stuff, right? It's amazing. But certainly, folks, take steps to prepare yourselves and your families for any sort of circumstance. Because, as I said, we can only drive this home so much, but it is important and it needs to be out there. And you need to take the necessary precautions to ensure your survivability. That having been said, one good thing to focus on is health. And Lee Kroc will be joining us tomorrow on the program to give away another one of his energy cleaner units. So visit our website, franklyspeakingradio.com. Let Webmaster James know what a great job he's doing. And while you're there, click on Lee's link. Takes you to his website, edkuniversity.com. His phone numbers are there, two of them, home and work. You can call him anytime. He's happy to chat. Research this a little bit. Prove that you put in a little bit of legwork. And, you know, email me your story to energycleanergiveaway@yahoo.com. Very, very simple. energycleanergiveaway@yahoo.com. Make sure I have that by 10 a.m. Central Time today. That's in 4 hours. So you can qualify to be eligible for the giveaway tomorrow. So, yeah, I'll tell you what. A lot of big things happen in the world. They have fireballs reported over Florida. Who knows what else is going on. Very, very peculiar things. Last night they had the JetBlue aircraft landing at LAX out there in California. And it didn't have, there's a malfunction with the landing gear, and it basically circled for 3 hours, and then it finally landed. Flames and sparks shooting out of the front landing gear. Everything's fine, though. But, you know, you look at this. Here you've got a potential plane disaster happening live on the news, while a show called Lost about plane crash survivors is airing on ABC. You've got this show called Invasion about a aftermath of a hurricane disaster and like big lights coming out of the sky. As Hurricane Rita approaches and as it's going over Florida, you got fireballs actually coming out of the sky. It's a strange, strange time, my friends. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back, my friends, to Thursday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. Oh, boy. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. As I said, amazing things going on all over the place. It's truly an interesting time to be alive. That having been said, let's dive into some news. This one, Reuters, Monday. Manhattan could be flooded. New York could suffer as much damage as New Orleans if it were hit by a catastrophic hurricane like the one that passed just north of the city in 1938, experts warned on Monday. Said James Lee Witt, former director of FEMA from 1993 to 2000, quote, major hurricanes, he says, are not limited to the Gulf Coast in Florida, end quote. He was speaking at the launch of a campaign to improve preparation for disasters such as Hurricane Katrina. The ProtectingNewYork.org coalition, which includes insurance companies, will work to create a catastrophe fund like those already in place in Florida and California that would kick in if damage from a natural disaster, accident, or attack reached a certain threshold, said Witt. Witt said that the 1938 Long Island Express hurricane missed Manhattan only by 55 miles. It caused damage worth over $300 million and killed 700 people. And that's in 1938. So obviously, if something were to happen now, it'd be pretty bad. Witt said the September 11th attacks on the World Trade Center cost $30 billion, and experts estimate another spectacular attack could cause damages exceeding $250 billion, perhaps more if it involved a nuclear facility or nuclear device. So September 11th, as bad as that was, only cost $30 billion. Katrina, $200 billion already. And Rita, looking to truly expand the problem, the cost, and so on and so forth. And he mentions here a nuclear facility or nuclear device could cost that much money if it was an attack or an accident even. All right? Just keep that in mind. The plan, it goes on to say, would be to use a portion of property insurance premiums to create the fund, which would enjoy tax-free growth. Witt said no tax dollars would go to the fund, and insurance companies would not be able to dip into the special fund for any purpose other than paying claims from catastrophes that exceed a threshold that will be determined. Now, the story, which I won't get into the rest of it, goes on to basically say that, you know, looking at the disaster aftermath from things like Katrina, it doesn't exactly inspire a lot of confidence. And people are taking steps to be perhaps a little more prepared and a little more self-reliant. I think that's great. To a point. But anyway, this one from the New York Daily News and this one from yesterday. It says, a small amount of slightly radioactive water has leaked from a container at the Indian Point 2 nuclear power plant in Westchester County, officials said yesterday. Spokesman for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and for Entergy Nuclear Northeast, owner of the Westchester County plant, said the water was found several feet underground and posed no danger. But Indian Point's critics said that the leak is another indication the plant could be closed. So obviously this is it's in New York, folks, and strangely enough, a nuclear incident was just mentioned. But think about that. You know, we talked about oil refineries and oil platforms and things like that possibly being in the crosshairs of a hurricane. Imagine if it was a crumbling, cracking, already, you know, not 100% nuclear facility. Never mind that creaking of my mic stand here. Continuing, folks, Associated Press today. Searchers looking for bodies smashed into homes that have been locked or submerged under Hurricane Katrina's highest floodwaters, pushing the overall body count past 1,000 as another hurricane threatens to prolong the hunt for the dead. The death toll in Louisiana stood at 799 on Wednesday, an increase of 153 since the weekend, and nearly 80% of the 1,036 deaths attributed to Katrina across the Gulf Coast region. Officials said that the effort could last for another 4 to 6 weeks. Said U.S. Coast Guard Captain Jeffrey Pettit, quote, there still could be quite a few, especially in the deepest flooded areas, some of the houses they haven't even been in yet. A mandatory evacuation order was in effect for the entire east bank of the Mississippi, and some 500 buses are standing by at the convention center, but few seem to be taking advantage. Only 27 people had been evacuated by the end of the day. Now, it doesn't say if it's forcible evacuation, but a mandatory evacuation order indicates that that's what it was. So if they've only got 27 people on 500 buses, what does that indicate? It indicates to me either A, they don't know what's going on, and obviously, you know, still a lot of places don't have power, any sort of connection to the outside world. B, that there aren't any people to mandatorily evacuate, which is disturbing because we heard for a long time that there's anywhere between 5 and 15,000 people still remaining in New Orleans. So it does make you wonder. The death toll obviously is going to be significantly higher. It's not like, oh, we opened this door in this building and found 30 bodies, so add 30 to the count. That's not how it works. As you know, they have to be processed, identified, and so on and so forth. And we know that from just a few months ago, we talked about the Times-Picayune read a story, and that story indicated that as of, I don't know, April or something, there were like 15,000 people dead in New Orleans. And you're like, how can 15,000 people die in 4 months? Didn't make sense. And they said, oh, we've been backlogged on these death certificates for about 2 years. Well, certainly we're going to see an extensive backlog from Katrina, obviously, you know, if you compare the two. All right, this one is from Tuesday, and this is from the Times-Picayune. It says, tax breaks designed to help Hurricane Katrina victims get their hands on needed cash could do more for higher-income survivors than for the neediest, a congressional report says. The Congressional Research Service, an office that provides nonpartisan legislative analysis to lawmakers, pointed to several items in virtually identical bills that passed in the House and Senate last week. One helps hurricane victims get access to their savings accounts by waiving penalties imposed on taxpayers who tap into their retirement savings before their retirement occurs. Others let taxpayers write off more of their destroyed property and erase taxes regularly imposed when a debt like a mortgage is forgiven. Okay, so let's look at what that means. So these bills designed to help the victims basically make it easier, removes all penalties for people who dip into their 401ks. It also lets taxpayers write off more damaged property for their homes that they own. Well, if you don't have a 401k, which I don't, and you don't have a home that you own, which I don't, obviously this wouldn't apply to you. So, you know, I'm just putting myself in this category because I'm sure that applies to a lot of you out there. Says the report, says lower income survivors are less likely to have retirement accounts like 401ks and IRAs to tap into for recovery. Because many lower income individuals and families pay little tax, assistance efforts that lower their taxes may do little good, the report says. The House and Senate bills must be reconciled and signed by President Bush before becoming law. Congress has started working on other fronts to help the poorest victims of Hurricane Katrina. Lawmakers sent the president a bill giving states immediate access to more welfare funds. Lawmakers have also discussed giving hurricane survivors access to Medicaid health care and making unemployment insurance funds more flexible. It's a lot of different relief efforts, folks, and it looks like there's a doozy on the way as well. So let's continue. Associated Press today. Hurricane Rita grew into a monster storm with 175 mile per hour sustained winds as it swirled toward the Gulf Coast, prompting more than 1.3 million residents in Texas and Louisiana to flee in hopes of avoiding a deadly repeat of Katrina. Galveston, Corpus Christi, and surrounding Nueces County, low-lying parts of Houston and New Orleans were all under mandatory evacuation orders as Category 5 Rita drew strength and energy from the balmy Gulf waters. Forecasters said Rita could be the strongest hurricane on record to ever hit Texas. Only three Category 5 hurricanes, the highest on the scale, are known to have hit the U.S. mainland, most recently Andrew, which smashed South Florida in 1992. Hundreds of buses were dispatched Wednesday to evacuate the poor and move out hospital and nursing home patients, and truckloads of water, ice, and ready-made meals and rescue and medical teams were all on standby in an effort to show that the lessons learned in Katrina have been well learned. The U.S. mainland has never been hit by both a Category 4 and a Category 5 in the same season. Katrina at one point became a Category 5, but weakened slightly to a Category 4 just before coming ashore. Never. That's never happened. In Houston, the state's largest city and home to the highest concentration of Katrina refugees, geography makes evacuation particularly tricky. While many hurricane-prone cities are right on the coast, Houston is 60 miles inland, so a coastal suburban area of 2 million people must evacuate through a metropolitan area of 4 million people where the freeways are often clogged even under the best of circumstances. By late Wednesday, the blinking taillights of motorists headed north from Houston could be seen from planes landing at Houston's William P. Hobby Airport on the south side of the city. All routes leading north and west were jammed with vehicles carrying boxes on their roofs. Now, I got to go ahead and interject something here. And, Clint, I know you got something to say, but let me throw this out here. At Christmas time last year, I told you guys, basically, I went to Atlanta for Christmas. And from here, on an average, it takes, you know, 12 hours. On a good trip, 10 hours. On a long, hard trip, 14 hours. Now, my Christmas trip from here to Atlanta, and I'm in Northwest Arkansas, took me 32 hours. 32 hours. Now, in the midst of all this, and the reason why is because we had pretty much the worst ice storm that has ever hit Arkansas in the last 200 years, and it was unbelievable. I mean, it was inches and inches and inches of ice all over the roads, all over the highways, everything over the overpasses, the off-ramps, the on-ramps, everything. I mean, you couldn't get into different places like gas stations. You couldn't get out if they were on a slope even. It doesn't matter what kind of vehicle you have. There were trucks, there were vans, there were SUVs, there were cars, there were tractor trailers, all flipped. Some of them right across the highway, and in the dark you can't see anything, so you're driving along, and then all of a sudden, you know, the tail end of a tractor trailer is sticking out 5 feet into your lane, and you got to swerve at the last minute on ice. It was unbelievable. But let me tell you, one of the biggest problems were the people who sat there in bumper-to-bumper traffic and didn't move, and guess what happened? Their gas ran out. That's happening right now, folks, in Texas. People are waiting in these long lines. It took me 9 hours to get what would normally take me 2 hours to get. And luckily, I planned ahead and didn't run out of gas. But people are facing that right now. So what kind of traffic jam is that going to cause with cars out of gas? We'll continue with the news. Check in with Clint. Stay with us. Updated version, this one from today, Associated Press. Gaining strength with a frightening speed, Hurricane Katrina Hurricane Rita swirled toward the Gulf Coast, a Category 5, 175-mile-per-hour monster Wednesday. More than 1.3 million people in Texas and Louisiana were sent packing on orders from authorities who learned a bitter lesson from Katrina. Early Thursday, Rita was centered about 540 miles east-southeast of Galveston and was moving west nearly 9 miles per hour. Amazing how it can be so big and so powerful and move so slow. Forecasters predicted it would come ashore along the central Texas coast between Galveston and Corpus Christi. With its breathtaking size, tropical storm force winds extending 375 miles across, practically the entire western end of the U.S. Gulf Coast is now in peril. And even a slight rightward turn could prove devastating to the fractured levees protecting New Orleans. The last major hurricane to strike the Houston area was a Category 3, named Alicia in 1983. It flooded downtown Houston, spawned 22 tornadoes, and left 21 people dead. At the Galveston Community Center, where 1,500 evacuees had been put on school buses to points inland, another lesson from Katrina was put into practice. To overcome the reluctance of people to evacuate without their pets, they were allowed to bring them along in crates. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And Clint, of course, welcome to the show. You're there in Texas, obviously. And I imagine, are you seeing some of these things? Are you seeing the lines at the gas stations, the traffic jams, things like that?
I tell you what, I was coming in today, and it was, you know, roughly 5:30 in the morning, and I'm driving by, you know, pretty decent traffic for that time in the morning on the freeway, and then I look over at the gas stations. You know, normally that time in the morning, there's one person at the pump, four people, five people at the pumps. And people are getting gas, they're getting ready.
Yeah.
They're coming into town, they're leaving town, they're doing what they have to. I mean, this town's already full from a music festival we have going on this weekend.
Yeah.
And I think there are more people piling in, and they don't know it. There's no hotels. There's no nothing. So I think you got a lot of people kind of driving through, and it's kind of, I think it's going to be nuts trying to leave here this evening.
Yeah, I bet. Any plans to shut down Republic by chance?
I have not heard any. I think we'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, judging by the size of the storm, we could get some intense winds and rains up here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously, I expect a phone call on your way out if you guys are shutting down, because I don't want to be here at 2 a.m. on Monday if I don't need to be.
Aww.
I know. Poor me, right, as you guys run for your lives. No, I'm just saying, I want to be in the loop on this, obviously, because it looks like it's gonna hit, what, like 2 a.m. Saturday, something like that?
Yeah, that's what they're kind of throwing around there. But, man, you know, the thing is, such a slow-moving hurricane has so much time to gather strength in that warm water. I don't know.
Well, you know, we were just talking
like
about that. You said
it moves, the bigger it's going to get.
Oh, yeah, you would think so. I mean, typically they do maybe weaken a little bit just because that kind of intensity, you know, keeping it up, that's a lot of energy that's required. And it doesn't mean it can't happen. Doesn't mean it won't happen. Doesn't mean that, you know, any of that stuff. But, you know, regardless, category, I mentioned to you, they were showing the computer models of Galveston area. And I don't know who put it together. I forget. It was it was a university of some sort. They were showing these computer models, and it was basically a computer-generated image as if it was, you know, not quite up in space, but, you know, looking down on the city. And you could see what a Category 3 hurricane would do. And it basically, it just I mean, it completely flooded the entire area. Like, the Galveston Island completely gone, and a lot of the inland areas completely flooded out, and that's Category 3. So if it hits that area, it, you know, what they're talking about is best-case scenario to be a 4, so that's pretty devastating.
Yeah, and, you know, Alicia was devastating for that area. I remember that. People still talk about that when they talk about the big hurricanes that have hit that area. It was 83, right? Is that what your list said?
Yes. Yep. 83. 22 tornadoes, 21 deaths.
It was ripping roofs off places left and right.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, people still talk about, that's what they compare everything to. That's, you know, the one in recent memory that really devastated that area. And it was only a 3. So,
you know, there's always a lot of flooding in Texas. We're always hearing about that.
Yeah.
So,
well, we had that flooding, what was it, in 2000? Or
yeah, just a couple years ago, I remember.
And that, I mean, that was some ridiculous flooding. That flooded absolutely everything. And, I mean, we're looking at possibly that kind of rain again, which a hurricane this size.
Absolutely. You mentioned that you talked to somebody who went fishing recently, and they were talking about the temperatures of the water.
Right, yeah, my family's, I've been calling them constantly more than I normally do, so they're kind of happy about that. But, you know, just seeing what they're doing.
That's good,
man. What their plans are.
Yeah.
And friends, too. And stepfather recently went fishing and said the water was... Oh, I can't remember exactly, but it's 80-something degrees. It was, I mean, just absolutely ridiculously warm.
Yeah, I remember they said that as it was going through the around Florida, it was the temperatures around 89, and most of the Gulf, it was somewhere around 85. So it's just, it's an amazing thing. Stay with me, Clint, folks. We'll be right back. Stay with us as part of this show as we try to look at all these different scenarios coming up in the... I guess in the advance of Hurricane Rita, the big thing here, folks, is you're looking at, gosh, again through that computer model alone, hundreds of thousands of homes destroyed, even by a Category 3 in Galveston. So, you know, there's so many different factors to contribute into this. I mean, you got the Iraq War, the invasion, and the occupation since then, costing about $200 billion. Katrina alone. One storm, a couple of days of some flooding, $200 billion. I mean, this is insane. And the politicians are saying, hey, we're not going to raise taxes. Well, of course they're going to say that because there's an election coming up. But what they've got is they have to cut back on things. And today they're talking about it, saying, you know, your favorite program on PBS might go away. This might go away. That might go away. So watch for these things. And we're going to talk about gas here in a bit, but I want to check in with Clint again because I know he still had more to talk about. Clint, welcome back.
Howdy, howdy. You know what I picture right now is Bush, like, sliding on his knees on some wood floor going, yes, 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 because, like, he's sitting there going, oh, man, you know, I screwed up Iraq. I screwed up Katrina. But give me one more hurricane. I'll make it right. I'll get my poll numbers up.
You think so?
Dude, it's the only way he's going to get his poll numbers up if he handles this correctly.
That's the thing. Here, I want people to understand something. You're right, Clint, first of all, that it could very well look great. And FEMA looks better, and the National Guard looks like they have plenty of people. State, local governments look great. Federal government looks amazing. Red Cross looks better. It's very possible this could be a redemption opportunity for them. But don't believe the hype, folks. No matter how good they do on this, does not compensate for the hundreds, perhaps thousands of lives lost, the, you know, damage, all that stuff as a result of what happened with Katrina. But listen to this, Clint. This is from the National Enquirer, so take it or leave it. But it is intriguing, I think, and it's from yesterday. Faced with the biggest crisis of his political life, President Bush has hit the bottle again, the National Enquirer can reveal. Bush, who said he quit drinking the morning after his 40th birthday, has started boozing amid the Katrina catastrophe. Family sources have told... the 59-year-old president was caught by First Lady Laura Bush downing a shot of booze at their family ranch in Crawford, Texas, when he learned of the hurricane disaster. Bush is under the worst pressure of his two terms in office, and his popularity is near an all-time low. The handling of the Katrina crisis and troop losses in Iraq have fueled public discontent and pushed Bush back to drink. A Washington source said, quote, "The sad fact is that he's been sneaking drinks for weeks now. Laura may have only just caught him, but the word is his drinking has been going on for a while in the Capitol. He's been in a pressure cooker for months." Another source said, quote, "A family member told me that they fear that George is, quote-unquote, falling apart. The First Lady has been assigned the job of gatekeeper," end quote. Now, again, that may or may not be true, but, you know, the remainder of it seems to, you know, to be resourced pretty well, and it needs to be factored in. Here's what it says. On November 1, 2000, on the eve of his first presidential election, Bush acknowledged that in 1976, he was arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol near his parents' home in Maine. At age 30 at the time, Bush pleaded guilty and paid a $150 fine. His driving privileges were temporarily suspended in Maine. During his 2000 presidential campaign, there were also persistent questions about past cocaine use. Eventually, Bush denied using cocaine after 1992, and then quickly extended the cocaine-free period back to 1974 when he was 28 years old. Dr. Justin Frank, a Washington, D.C. psychiatrist and author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President, told the National Enquirer, quote, I do think that Bush is drinking again. Alcoholics who are not in any program, like the president, have a hard time when stress gets to be this great. I think it's a concern that Bush disappears during times of stress. He spends so much time on his ranch, it's very frightening, end quote. So I don't know if he's necessarily celebrating, but I think that, you know, again, the spin masters are ready to go into action whenever applicable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say he was celebrating, but, I mean...
But you did say that.
Well, but for redemption's sake.
There are those people that you used to hear stories like, you know, there's a big hurricane, you know, survival party happening here. And we always heard those stories about a big, you know, bunch of people boozing it up as the hurricane is arriving. And, you know, eventually we stopped hearing those stories. And the reason is because those people typically disappeared. it's just, it's sad. It's sad. Yeah, it's sad that people don't take stuff like this seriously. Should always be prepared. But when we left off, you were talking about the water temperatures. Obviously, that's going to increase some things, too. What else are you hearing from the family?
Let's check in with Al in Colorado bright and early this morning. Al, what
the situation that we're facing now is pretty much two times as bad, at least, than what we face in the aftermath of Katrina. With
are you
the
talking
oil.
About Rita now?
Yes.
It's going to be
so,
very bad. No
absolutely.
Question.
Absolutely. And the heating prices, they're saying this today, heating prices this winter will be the highest they have ever been in U.S. history, which means, of course, if we have, and it typically does tend to go this way, if we have really bad, you know, insanely
real
high...
Real bad weather.
Yeah, really, really high amounts of heat in the summertime, then come winter, it's just going to be crazy. We're going to have ice storms and blizzards and just record snowfalls in places where it's not supposed to snow. So we probably will see heating prices...
Through the roof.
And people dying, freezing to death. It's going to be unprecedented.
Possibility.
Well, as a result of that, let's take a look. Here you've got, in March of 2006, is when the Iranian oil bore starts.
Yeah,
they're supposed to start.
That's what Bush does not want.
No.
Because they're going to price it in euros.
That's right. And that's going to be...
That's the end of the dollar.
That's the end of the United States economy. They can't have that.
No.
So all of this is designed to push towards Iran. But again... Nobody's focusing on Iran right now. Everyone's focusing on, you know,
Rita's the
real
story
things.
Now, I think.
And it should be. And
yes,
it should be.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, XL Energy in Colorado has said that October will have 49% increase in natural gas, and December will have a 34%. I don't know why they don't talk about November, because there is a month in there, but we're going to see an average of a 40-some-odd percent increase in the next 2-3 months in just the natural gas.
Yes.
We've been lucky the last 3 years in Colorado.
That's the thing, and you know this because you're...
People don't think of
these things. I know. You're in a snow-prone area. I've lived all over the country. I'm familiar with the snow. People are stupid. And
yes,
it's
they
just,
are. No question about it.
Yeah, any type of... any type of disaster, people go to the grocery store and they buy milk and they buy bread. And I don't understand that.
No problem. No, there's no question, Frank, we will see $5 before we sing Auld Lang Syne in December. No doubt in my mind about that.
Well, let me tell you something. I've got it here on the record, official oil analysts who have confirmed Clint's dire predictions that we'll see $5 in the next week.
Next week.
That's what they're saying.
Well, that means that I go down 1 or 2 days a month down to Denver, then, and that's it. And the mail will just have to wait. I do have to pick up, you know, what, utility bills and stuff. But that's that can be a one-time shot during the month. I don't have to be on the road, put it that way.
Well, I think certainly people should take their best steps to try to limit these things and start looking at some new options.
$5 a gallon will literally shut the country down, Frank. I believe it will.
Well, $5 a gallon would be, what is that, about I guess comparably, what, $120 a barrel? Somewhere around
$150? Something like that. Well, yeah. Chavez said, because we have our warships off of the coast of Venezuela, he says we're going to see $200 a barrel, is what Chavez has said. So I think it's going to get real interesting. Why is George Bush have... I mean, I know we've got this secret base in Paraguay that they're talking about building that the Defense Department is vehemently denying. And there's... Oh, there we go again.
I know it. All right.
Okay, I'll hold.
Stay with me out. Okay, quick break, my friends. About a minute and a half, and then we'll be right back to continue with hour number two of our Thursday edition of Frankly Speaking Radio.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to tonight's edition of the Q-Files. It's the 22nd of September. The year is 2005, and the exodus out of Houston is almost unimaginable. For better than 80 to 100 miles, the freeway has been turned into a one-lane exit ramp out of Houston, and the stories coming out of the evacuees are astonishing. Now, thank God the state of Texas is doing some things right, like dispatching gas trucks and wreckers and stuff to help people get out of the way and to get their vehicles filled when they run out of gas. But there's no place for people to go to the bathroom. There's no place to get anything that they should have already had by now. And this thing is huge in the ramifications of what it will do to the economy. As if it's not bad enough waiting for, at this point, a Category 4 hurricane to hit someplace between, obviously, Galveston, Houston, and eastern Texas, the point that most people are missing, I think, is what's going on also in California. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is important. Stan Dale went into great detail about what would happen if some of the quakes that are taking place in California were to rupture the seawall. Let me share this with you. According to submarine commanders and others, less than 4 feet of seawall under the, underneath the surface of the continent, in other words, what California sits on a plate that also sits with a seawall blocking the San Joaquin Valley from flooding. In Mettler, California right now, a series of earthquakes ranging up to magnitude 4.9 have shook an area north of Los Angeles on Thursday. There were no immediate reports, injuries, or damage. The tremblers in the San Joaquin Valley, about 70 miles northwest of Los Angeles, began with a magnitude 4.0 jolt that was quickly followed by a 4.9, according to the USGS service in Pasadena. Seismologists recorded at least 5 aftershocks ranging between magnitude 3 and 3.7. The only things we're getting report is that some items toppled over on shelves, but we've got no report of damages or injuries, said Kern County Fire Captain Doug Johnson. Now, one of the reasons I'm sharing this with you is important for you to realize is that concurrent with what's taking place on the Gulf Coast, the West Coast is also getting disproportionately varied earthquakes. Before it was in Eureka, California, when they had the tsunami warning for the tsunami that wasn't. But then we had the situation in the Palm Springs area several weeks ago where there were 12 to 1,500 earthquakes. Now we're getting a few earthquakes. And by the way, the magnitude doesn't bother me. The position bothers me. So this is a heads up, everyone. Again, it's mostly unfathomable, maybe totally unfathomable is a better way to say that, that grocery stores and all that you and I have come to depend on as servicing our lives could literally be shut down in a 4 minute or less episode of the right earthquakes at the right places flooding the San Joaquin Valley, which, in case you don't have any idea how important that is to agriculture, it is probably, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's one of the top 3 agricultural producing areas in the United States. Now, again, it's important that you and I, and we all get a grasp on this, because it's not something that we can just turn away from. And for the record, everyone, I'm getting all kinds of phone calls today and all kinds of warnings from people that as far even as Canada, the gas panic is on. Because obviously you've got the biggest refinery that refines gasoline shut down, and no one yet knows exactly where the hurricane is going to hit or if it's going to linger or smash in. So the expectation of something bad happening is now driving people all the way into North Carolina. When I say North Carolina, I'm getting reports and emails right now that in some stations in North Carolina that they've put limits of $20 on their gas pumps, and that gas stations are already out of gas here. This is from Layla. She said, last night I had to buy premium, but still was at the old price of $286. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to read to you what my friend Rick sent me, because this is an important heads-up for everyone. Meanwhile, I guess it's a heads-up for everyone except the people that manipulate the Dow Jones. How the Dow can stay in a same tight range, manipulated by parenthetical inserts and infusions of funny money, is beyond me. But nevertheless, the people in this country are so Dow-dominated that unless the Dow Jones goes down, everything must be okay, right? Listen to this. Well, folks, it's coming. Just got off the phone from a dear friend of mine who's an oil man in Houston. And he and his staff were told to go home and stock up on gas. Expect oil. This is what his oil friend told him. Expect oil to be $100 a barrel in several days, if not tonight, and gas to be $5 per gallon by next week, if not sooner. Watch the stock market go down and gold and silver go up in value. There are reports of FEMA, again, confiscating gas. This has been confirmed in an affected area only today. Gas confiscation is not needed in our area, and he lives in one of the northwest states, as they all have to do is stop delivery, and the effect will be the same. He said we are to be expecting gas rationing, i.e. the 1970s era odd and even days by the end of the next week. So food delivery will start to be slowed down to local grocery stores, and soon after, watch for this to happen by next week countrywide as well. So, for what it's worth, there are a lot of people tipping off a lot of people as to what they can expect. Now, let's talk about preparedness. For those of you that have dilly-dallied, I talked to one lady today who said her husband, just when he hears this radio program on, muffles a few obscenities and walks out of the room. I wonder if he will be in a position to be any comfort to his wife, who is certainly brighter than he is, because she knows and is preparing and is doing everything she can in spite of what he does to get ready. And unfortunately, this is a time, men who have belittled your wives to try and get them to quit preparing, or women who have belittled your husbands to quit them to preparing, you don't want to be on a highway to nowhere out of Texas with one of the biggest hurricanes ever recorded or ever photographed from space getting ready to take place. Now, what would happen, I'm just throwing this out, if this thing turns out to be less than anticipated, and then the one right behind it that we were talking about last night, that you can go to crownweather.com and see some of the satellite moisture views of what's behind Rita, and you can judge for yourself whether we're, you know, talking about something that has the potential to become even bigger than Katrina and Rita together if things stay in place like they are. So what has to happen tonight? I would hope, of everything that I've ever done on radio, that given what you're seeing, what you're hearing, it's not just my radio show, it's others, that you would be more than motivated to go out and hold on to. And gas deputy sheriff, I won't mention your name, thank you so much, Matt. He said, Steve, I'm in College Station. He actually calls me Mr. Quail. You may always call me Matt Steve. I am in College Station, Texas, which is about 90 miles from Houston. All day today, I've seen 1970 style gas lines and close to bumper to bumper traffic in the northbound lanes of Texas Highway 6. It is my understanding that the closest available motels can be found in Lubbock, Texas, and Tulsa, Oklahoma. I don't know if this is fact, but that is what I've heard reported. And I got to tell you, from a former deputy sheriff, he's saying the same thing, and he happens to live up in the Hugo, Oklahoma area, because it's pretty amazing. Now, listen, let me read you what Larry Taylor sent me. Steve, watching this Rita storm, it's looking like it's coming over East Texas and West Louisiana on up over here, up over us here on the Oklahoma-Texas border. He said, evening, lines of cars out of Texas have streamed through Hugo, Oklahoma, on Indian Nation Turnpike, going north towards Oklahoma City or Tulsa, Oklahoma. There may be gas shortages the next day or so with such heavy traffic like this. He says, they are reporting no more gasoline south of us in Texas and shortages in other places with lines and lines of cars all the way to the Gulf Coast of Texas and many cars now being reported out of gas, stalled for hours in the terrible heat, and how many getting sick in the cars from hours of heat and no gas to run them. They're stuck. Anyway, he talks about all the storms churning out his way. And then he says this, too. He says, watching the quakes closely in California right now, and the storm is really churning. This direction is dangerous. We're really on a heads up here, as we may lose electricity when this hits. You know, he basically says, we also have a really heavy potential in this part of the country when storms come like this of having multiple tornadoes. Well, God bless you, Larry, and may the Lord protect you and Darnett and each and every one of you believers who's in Texas, who's in Louisiana, who are fleeing. If any of you are fleeing right now and you're listening on shortwave, my prayers are with you. Our prayers are with you. Now, I'm talking about a bigger picture. Please, I really want you to understand this. I know for a fact, I can tell you for a fact, that there are secret op plans of the government that when we sustain multiple cumulative national disasters that go beyond that, that the whole country will be locked down. You may not see it initially in your state for days, especially in the north, but when it becomes locked down, that's the time that you have to worry the most. Now, please, let me make it clear tonight. If you hear of specific areas that are being locked down under martial law, then those of you who are going to head for the hills on your alternate routes had better go. Again, the point being is that you will have travel restrictions, and what you've seen in New Orleans is nothing compared to what's going to come. So for those of you that are going to stay and shelter in place, and those of you who aren't in the Gulf Coast states or just trying to rebuild your shattered and broken lives from what's already happened, you do best to rerun through your checklist, your survival supplies. And again, people have still not got the statement that I think it's important for them to understand. When everybody else is out of power, you don't want your house to look like the only source of light in the neighborhood, because people will vegetate to the light. Not only do people vegetate to the light or move to the light, but also gangs and the bad guys come. That's why in Mardi Gras, few pastors or very few national ministries are called here south of Interstate 10. I can hear the sirens on I-10 from my house as we were boarding up earlier today. Guess the gridlock taking effect, Rex, etc. We're battening down the hatches here. It would be a good test. I'm running all my communication gear except my HF rig, listening for what the guys in blue are doing. I would expect the gas to run low in this area. They're expecting power to be lost for days in the Lake Charles area. Major damage, possible flooding coming up from the storm surge, etc. We have, fortunately, our own electric power at plant, so if telephone internet is up and the power plant is not damaged, I'll shoot you an email. I tuned to TBN in Chicago, and St. Louis is empty. They said it supplies most of those cities' petroleum needs. Thank you for bringing that to my attention, Bill. Please call my brother and gave me a number. He wants me to talk to you, okay? He said, thanks for your prayers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, realize this, that a lot of the gasoline, you may think that you're exempt in Wisconsin. By the way, I've heard from Wisconsin listeners today. I've heard from Michigan listeners today. I don't think I've heard from North Dakota today in a phone call or on email. I'm talking about gas situation. But to the point, the pipelines that fill the service stations of the nation's 100 largest cities are expected to be empty by this weekend. Now, let me say that again. The pipelines that fill the gasoline distribution network of America's 100 largest cities are supposed to be empty by this weekend. Do you think maybe a panic can be stopped before it starts? No, then it wouldn't be a panic, okay? It'd be an orderly acquisition of necessary supplies. But panics are panics, because when the herd moves, ladies and gentlemen, my prep's done for staying put. My husband is adamantly against my planning. It goes through the roof. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I made a statement once and got mocked beyond anything I think I've ever been mocked for, but I want to make it again, so I'll let my scoffing friends. You will see the day in America when 1 million people, 1 million people will be unemployed overnight. 1 million, okay? You will see the day when the economy comes to a complete standstill, when no planes are flying, when no trucks are running, when no trains are running. And if you understand how much freight moves by trains, this is an awesome statement. And in that time period, before the hammer finally falls once and forever, people will have a chance to reflect on eternity. I don't know. The first couple hours, there'll be a nervous kind of giddiness. The next couple hours, people will be absolutely pacing and pawing. Those who have run out of cigarettes or, you know, beer will be, and please, I'm not picking on anybody in a self-righteous manner, or those who have run out of Prozac or whatever else is out there will be equally as discouraged. And, you know, it only will take, in my opinion, 12 to 18 hours for the realization that, and they will say, many of them will take the name of the Lord in vain, but many will say, why did I not listen? Why did I not prepare? Why did I not? Why did I not? And the words, why did I not, will haunt them. The could have, should have, would have will drive many people insane. And I mean that. Insanity is coming. And I read a prophecy on the air a number of weeks ago. I got to get it up on my website, where God says you will watch your leaders go insane before your eyes. Well, that remains to be seen. And all it is basically, it's either from the Lord or it's from my imagination, but if it's from the Lord, it will come to pass. And if it comes to pass, then what it means to you listening to this broadcast tonight is that on the 22nd of September, 2005, you had a chance to do something to basically suck it up and get going, even putting it off all these years. Again, God bless each and every one of you. Please, everyone, pray for the brethren in Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, and throughout the country, because this thing is only going to get worse. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Welcome back. You are listening to hour number two of our Thursday program. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio. Well, always make time for you guys. 1-800-313-9443. Alan, Colorado, welcome to the show.
I'm going to finish up here, Frank, and say if we see $5 a gallon, I'm afraid that that means we're going to be running out, and I think we're going to see panic, and I think even though I'm pretty well stocked up, it's time to go buy some more food, Frank. Like I say, I'm already stocked, but the prices are going to go through the roof now, are they not?
Oh, yeah, they have to. And look, I mean, here's the thing. It's a supply and demand type situation.
Absolutely.
And given the state of gasoline and places like Houston, Galveston, oh, yeah, and jet fuel and everything else.
All that stuff, yes.
Everything else. But given the price of gasoline in Galveston and Houston and even Dallas, what they're saying is that these trucks that are supposed to be delivering on a regular basis are not to various places, because they're saying basically the state is saying, hey, the gas is needed here, so this is where you come. So gas stations are running out, and of course they're running out of the regular, and then they run out of the mid-grade, then they run out of the premium
stuff. People are not even buying the higher grades,
yeah,
because even if their car needs it, because they can't afford it anymore.
Right on.
And, well, we'll see what happens. All I can say, Frank, is keep up the good work, God bless, and lock and load, sir.
Always got to get that in
there.
Talk to
you later.
Take care, my friend. Let's go to Rodney in Texas. Rodney,
I mean, they've got lines and lines of people at the gas stations here, and the word that I'm hearing on the street here is people are more worried about the spike in gasoline prices more than the hurricane, actually.
Mm-hmm. Really?
You know, they're more afraid that, well, if we don't get the gasoline now, when the hurricane hit, and afterwards, the price of gasoline is going to be so high that, we may not be able to afford it.
You know, and we saw that with Katrina. A lot of the people who, you know, got there in their own vehicles and evacuated, and they got out of New Orleans and whatnot and made it to the Astrodome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them were just pulling up on fumes alone. And you know, given that situation, it's very possible that, you know, people who maybe aren't extraordinarily well off, who are using all this money to get out of Galveston and Houston and whatnot, they might not have enough money to have enough gas to get back to their homes that may or may not even be there when they arrive.
Yeah, I think some people are probably thinking we'll worry about the consequences later.
True that. Hey, hang on there, brother.
Sure.
Quick, a very, very newsworthy day. Lots of big happenings going on for, the entire Gulf Coast. Hurricane Rita is about to make its presence felt. And we're talking to Rodney in Texas. Rodney, welcome back, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm looking at the big picture on this, and I spoke with Al yesterday, and I told him this, and I stand by this, Frank. I believe eventually we're all going to be living like nomads in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gasoline is a necessity.
Yeah.
Okay? And the powers to be, they know that. I should say the evil powers to be, they know this. They're holding this country under siege right now.
Yeah.
And they're starting with the gasoline. Now, this is going to affect the flow of food in, you know, to supermarkets and places like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to affect a lot of things. And now I'm hearing yesterday, or was it the day before, with all of the pain and suffering that Americans are undergoing right now, Alan Greenspan decides, I think it's time, it's about time for us to raise the interest rate.
Yeah.
So I see the economy is going to probably collapse real soon.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on, man. They're really, and sad to say, Americans who really don't pay close attention to the news, they're going to get a reality check here real, real soon, and I do agree with what Al said. I think it's going to cause serious pandemonium.
Yeah, I agree.
And of course, this is what the powers to be want.
Oh yeah, yeah. To an extent, I mean, I do think that they want problems so they can, you know, move in and institute their control mechanisms, without a doubt. I mean,
well, it's all about control, like Lindsey Williams has said time and time again, that it was deliberate what FEMA was doing down there, and that this in the long run would backfire on Bush.
Yeah.
Well, because the man has gotten away with so many lies, one lie after the other, just in your face, lie. I figured that he would get away with this one. But what has happened here is people's lives were lost. And it was black and white, poor and rich, who were affected by the intentional screw-ups down there. And I believe, like these people claim, that he was hoping that this would get his ratings back up. But what has happened, in my opinion, Frank, I believe it has backfired on him seriously. Weather modification. You know, when some of these guys first started talking about that, I'll be honest, I didn't quite understand it. But... you know, last night I heard one of your colleagues on RBN read a story dated from 1997 from the Wall Street Journal, where, in fact, he read that people over in Malaysia back in 1997 were using weather modification to stir up cyclones and hurricanes in this country of Malaysia, way over on the other side of the world. Almost 10 years ago, they were using it to clear out smog. And, Frank, I believe you actually shared that story once before, when you went over the various patents on weather modification or weather manipulation.
Yeah.
But that story really, really, really hit home for me. And I am now, I really believe that there are some wicked powers, evil powers out there that do have the ability and the technology to do this, and they're doing it. And I, just like I initiated this conversation by saying, this country is under siege eventually, you know, I believe they're going to have everybody where we're all begging. you know, big and for the master to give us some handouts.
Right on.
You know, the gasoline right now is a problem. You know, and usually when the poor people, you know, the blue-collar people out here, when they complain, you don't hear too much about it.
Gas news to get into. Drew's been waiting for a while. Drew in Arkansas, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir.
Please, everybody, get out there and send kudos to LSU and praising Dr. Van Herden and stuff like, because this is my favorite sentence in this whole Washington Post article. They contend that the pattern of destruction behind the breaches was consistent with a, get this, localized pressure burst rather than widespread overtopping. Localized pressure burst. Let's see, Frank, is that a good euphemism for bomb?
Okay. Like it to me.
It could be, huh? Yeah. So, sometimes, as in any group, some intellectuals are prostitutes. But we can't throw out all the experts and intellectuals just because some of them are bad. And I tell you what, I think that Dr. Van Herden is an ethical and good man. I just love him. But the thing is, we know that the pressure is liable to get very intense because he's told the truth from the beginning.
Here, folks, this is from the Lowell Sun, and this one was posted on Tuesday. It says, service station owner Paul O'Connell has gotten an earful from angry customers filling up at his gas station. O'Connell said his customers are angry about record-high gas prices, which soared above $3 a gallon after Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast. But O'Connell said big corporations, such as credit card and oil companies, quote, not small individually owned gas stations, are making millions off high gas prices. O'Connell says, quote, the banks are making a killing. An angle that hasn't really been out there here, folks. O'Connell spoke to legislators yesterday during a hearing about gas prices for the Committee on Telecommunications, Utilities, and Energy. He said credit card companies have increased fees for gas stations that allow customers to use credit cards to pay for gasoline. O'Connell said that when gasoline cost $1.50 a gallon, credit card companies charge roughly 45 cents per gallon. But companies have pushed that additional fee up to 9 cents more for every gallon sold. O'Connell said, quote, now more people are using credit cards to pay for gas because they don't carry around that kind of cash to pay for these high gas prices. The banks are overcharging us, but gouging is a strong word, end quote. Now, what that means here, folks, briefly, just to summarize, is that most people don't carry around huge amounts of cash. So they use their credit cards to pay for the gas. The gas, of course, has an additional interest rate being applied to it on the credit cards. So make no mistake, folks, if you're out there doing that, stay away from the credit card usage and carry your money with you. Sal Dampolo, who owns a gas station in northern Billerica, told legislators he also has the same problem, saying, quote, the credit card companies are making almost as much profit as the oil companies. On our end, we mostly have a loss of profits. 4 years ago, I was making more money selling gas at 89 cents a gallon than I am today. Gas prices were $2.53 per gallon 2 weeks before Katrina. And on August 30th, the day after, the cost jumped to $2.70 per gallon, said O'Connell, and the price was up to $3.57 per gallon by September 2nd, just a couple days later. Now, again, they're looking at far worse from Hurricane Rita. And we'll talk about more gas here in a second, but Clint, you said you had something?
Yeah, I just got off the phone with my mother. The roads, all of them leaving Houston, are gridlocked. They got word from a guy left Alvin and drove to Katy, Texas, which is 45, 50 miles, 8 hours. Everyone is running out of gas on the sides of the roads. It's totally gridlocked. They're talking about now opening up the normally south-headed lanes and just opening everything up straight north.
So well, yeah, we had just talked about that, too.
I mean, yeah, well, I'll have confirmation on it then, I guess. But I mean,
no, I know, but
8 hours.
We talked about that off the air.
For a 55-mile drive. I mean, 8 hours. That's insane. So solid gridlock on 45 and 10 heading out of Houston.
We were talking about, folks, confirmation, gridlock, which equals, of course, running cars, which equals, of course, people using their air conditioners because there's no real circulation from having the windows rolled down, which all equals to run out of gas. Cars being abandoned on the highways, and how much is that going to help? How much is that going to help the traffic problem? All right, so it's a big thing, big situation, big problems. And still, as we found out there, credit card companies and banks making a hell of a profit off the gas prices, more so perhaps or equally to the oil companies. And this one is the Associated Press yesterday, and it says Governor Frank Murkowski on Tuesday said Alaska could see a $1.5 billion surplus this year from high oil prices. Revenue releases its fall forecast. This spring, the department forecast oil prices would be about $38 a barrel. On Monday, the price of North Slope crude, $64.23. So that's amazing. That's almost almost double what they had projected it to be. So Alaska, the state of Alaska, making a ton of money. And we got this one from the Houston Chronicle yesterday. Houston gasoline stations are running short of fuel because suppliers have shifted their deliveries to fill the needs of area hospitals and emergency crews in advance of Hurricane Rita, what we just talked about, prioritizing where the gas should go at a state level. At area refineries, gasoline delivery trucks were waiting in line for several hours to get their tanks filled, and even some refiners are running out of fuel, said Bill Tilger, operations manager for Suncoast Resources, a large gasoline wholesaler based in Houston. Said Tilger, quote, "The Houston metropolitan area is going to have fuel concerns for sure. People need to get their fuel and get the heck out of here," end quote. Christine Thrash, an attorney who works downtown, was among about 20 drivers lined up on early Wednesday afternoon to top their tanks at a Chevron station in Midtown. A regular gasoline had run out at the station, and Thrash refueled her Honda Sport utility vehicle with premium. Stations throughout the city faced shortages. Pumps were out of all grades of gasoline at the Braeswood, Texaco, in southwest Houston at 9 a.m. yesterday. The station's employees said the load of fuel they expected got canceled because of a high demand throughout the city. Tilger, who is moving his trucks out of Houston on Thursday to protect them from the storm, said he expects shortages to hit the Dallas area as well as tens of thousands of Houstonians travel there to escape the Category 5 storm. So Houston, Galveston, Dallas, all going to see gas shortages. And then, of course, when you look at other stories, you can see that it's like we had in Atlanta after Katrina. Obviously, Atlanta didn't get hit by Katrina. Got some rain, but not a whole lot. But what they did get was the ability to move gasoline from one place to another affected them, and they had prices at $6 a gallon. People still pay it, folks. That's all there is to it. Associated Press today. Crude oil prices climbed $68 a barrel. Towards $68 a barrel Thursday's Hurricane Rita advanced on Texas, raising fears it would hit key production facilities along the U.S. Gulf Coast that were largely untouched by Hurricane Katrina's onslaught 3 weeks ago. The Category 5 hurricane with 165-mile-per-hour winds is expected to strike Texas, the heart of U.S. oil production, on Saturday. More than 1.3 million people in Texas and Louisiana, including hundreds of oil workers, were ordered to evacuate. Now, as we know, I believe the wind speed is somewhere up to about 170. It was earlier up to 175, and we've heard some unconfirmed reports that it was over 180, in which case, folks, it would be basically the equivalent of a Category 6. Goes on. In Singapore, November front-month crude contracts on the New York Mercantile Exchange rose $1.01 to $67.81 a barrel in electronic trading. 18 of its 26 refineries in Texas, with a combined distillation capacity of 4 million barrels a day, are located near the Gulf of Mexico. 9 of those facilities, representing 12% of U.S. refining capacity, have now shut down, Dow Jones Newswire's reports. The U.S. Minerals Management Service said Wednesday that 469 platforms in the Gulf are now unstaffed. And that is up sharply from Tuesday, when it was 136 platforms. So 136 platforms were shut down on Tuesday. 469 platforms shut down as of, Wednesday. Yeah, as of yesterday. More than 73% of oil production in the region is blocked, it says, up from 58% Tuesday. So again, Tuesday, 58% of oil production is blocked. Yesterday, 73% is blocked. Who knows where it is now? In a sign of growing frustration over surging oil prices, the head of the U.S. Energy Information Administration, Guy Caruso, slammed OPEC for constraining production to keep prices high. Days after the 11-member oil cartel pledged to make an available additional amount of 2 million barrels daily to cope with high demand. So OPEC says, hey, we'll go ahead and give you guys an additional 2 million barrels a day. And this guy, U.S. Energy Information Administration official, Guy Caruso, he slammed OPEC because he said they're at fault. Said Caruso Wednesday when asked during a Senate Commerce Committee hearing whether OPEC has contributed to soaring oil prices, Caruso says, quote, without question, it's them Arabs, he basically is saying. Like we said, folks, this is all pointing the finger, as we said, going right towards where we expected it to go, and where is that, of course? It's Iran. Okay, Iran is to blame for the violence in Iraq. Iran is to blame for this. Iran has this oil bourse coming up in March. We have to keep them from doing that because they'll price it in euros, and then the U.S. economy is going to go in the toilet. So right now we have to say, wait a minute here. It's not just Hurricane Category 4 striking New Orleans, Hurricane Category 5 striking Texas. Never mind that. That doesn't matter. The real reason the prices are going up is because of those Arabs. The real reason the prices are going up is because of the Middle East, because of OPEC, because they're stingy, they're greedy. Never mind the fact that we talked about the refining capacity versus crude oil availability. Never mind all that. What we're talking about here is these damn Middle Easterners are holding out on us. That's what they want you to think. So the fingers are already being pointed. The blame is already being laid. Again, my friends, I strongly encourage you to go back and read the Pentagon Climate Report released in December of 2003, in which it says future wars will be fought on the basis for survivability, acquisition of natural resources for survival, not for profit. So make no mistake, folks, as we see all these things happen, as we head into a winter where the public will turn on the politicians, where the mass amounts of Americans, the useless eaters, the poor and disenfranchised majority of Americans of all different colors, start holding the politicians accountable for the massive deaths from people who died from the cold and things of that nature, they have to have oil to maintain their little situation. They have to have it. I'll get any way they can. This one from yesterday, Reuters. Valero Energy Corporation Chairman and Chief Executive Bill Greehy, said Hurricane Rita's impact on U.S. crude oil production and refining could be a quote-unquote national disaster. Said Greehy in a Tuesday night interview, quote, if it hits the refineries, we're short refining capacity already. You're going to see gas prices well over $3 a gallon at the pump. Well, there's more, folks. I've got this one here in front of me. CNN Money, late yesterday. It says, remember when gas spiked to $3 plus a gallon after Hurricane Katrina? By this time next week, next Wednesday, basically, folks, that will seem like the good old days. By next Wednesday, because this was written Wednesday, so he said, this time next week, $3 a gallon will seem like the good old days. CNN has this one, folks. CNNmoney.com. This is not so-and-so's blog on such-and-such thing. This is not some alternative media thing. This is CNN Money, sponsored. You got ads all over the place. This is a very much a mainstream article. So what's this all about? Well, it's either a continuation of the legitimate attempts to report honestly in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, and maybe, you know, the idea that now the politics isn't dividing people who are suffering here. It's not patriotism. It's not Democrats versus Republicans. It's human beings. It's Americans. It's surviving. It's existing, coexisting, and making sure people are taken care of. And now we've got all these extra problems. I think this is the real deal, folks. $5 a gas. If Rita's as bad as they suspect, by next Wednesday. Stay with us, my friends. We'll be right back. Last night, CNNmoney.com, and it says, remember when gas was $3 plus a gallon after Hurricane Katrina by this time next week? That would seem like the good old days. Weather and energy experts say that as bad as Hurricane Katrina hit the nation's supply of gasoline, Hurricane Rita could be worse. Said energy analyst Peter Butel of Cameron Hanover, quote, we could be looking at gasoline lines and $4 a gallon, maybe even $5, if this thing does the worst it could do. The storm is in the wrong place, and it's absolutely at the wrong time, end quote. Michael Schlachter, chief meteorologist at Weather 2000, said Rita now appears most likely to hit between Port Arthur and Corpus Christi, Texas, sometime between Friday afternoon and Saturday morning. Just about all of Texas's refinery capacity lies in that at-risk zone. All of it. Problems could spread beyond the gas pumps. According to... Oh, who is this person they're sourcing here? I think I lost the... Lost the thing there. Anyway, yeah, it says natural gas prices could see a further spike since so many of the offshore platforms off of Texas produce natural gas, not crude oil. So even though the prices of the gas pumps will be going up, it has no bearing whatsoever on what they're getting out of the majority of these platforms. The majority of platforms are doing natural gas, which is going to have an impact on you and me and everybody else in this country and other places in the world come wintertime. While gasoline imports have helped bring gas prices down from record highs, there isn't any potential for heating oil imports. He says, quote, gasoline tends to obscure everything, especially since we aren't paying heating bills right now, but we're already looking at a winter fuel problem. We're about to take another hit that will cause a lot of problems. So, amazing stuff. That's according to Bob Tippy, editor of the Industry Trade Journal, Oil and Gas Journal, based out of Houston. You're looking at the highest heating oil prices that we've seen in this country ever. It's an amazing concept to try to wrap your mind around, folks, and I hope you're ready for all this stuff. Clint, we just wanted to check in with you. Amazing stuff going on here. Anything new that you've heard?
Yeah, I just got off the phone with my parents and some friends. I'll tell you about the friends first. They left their house at 9 o'clock at Central Time yesterday. They have driven 44.4 miles because they told me that it flipped to 0.4 whenever I was talking to them in 10 hours, basically almost 11 hours. They've driven that far. The place is totally shut down. Talked to my parents. They said that they're in the process of opening up all the southbound lanes to head, so everybody's heading north and west out of town. So I think they almost have 45, which is a really big one set up, and they're working on the rest of them right now.
Yeah. But well, I imagine that this is going to be pretty much an ongoing thing, and I hope
If they were to flip I-10 around or something like that, you shut down all major trucking that goes from one coast to the other that takes 10.
Well, say goodbye to all of your groceries, your supplies, all these different products. That's just not going to happen, my friends. So this is a huge, huge, huge thing. It looks like we're seeing another massive, monstrous Category 5 hurricane by the name of Rita. And it looks like the entire Gulf Coast area of the United States is under potential damage scenarios that we just don't know. It's projected to hit somewhere around Galveston, Houston, New Orleans, somewhere in there. Winds currently, according to CNN, at 170 miles per hour, 491 miles from the coast of Texas. Anticipated to arrive either Friday late or early Saturday. So what does this mean? Well, in comparable terms with Katrina, Katrina struck at the level of a Category 4. This one is currently a Category 5. Katrina was Category 5 for a while, but again, Category 4 did $200 billion worth of damage, well over 1,000 deaths, and it looks like, as I said, considering New Orleans's piss-poor ability to maintain their death records, they were backlogging some of the death certificates this year from 2 years ago. So, we may never know a true death count as far as how many people died, but it's officially over 1,000. And obviously hundreds of thousands of displaced people all over the country. Don't call them refugees, though. And now some of those people who had evacuated from New Orleans ended up in Houston. Now they're leaving again and being put somewhere else. This is an unprecedented turn of events. Running out of gas in Texas, in Houston, in Galveston, in Dallas, running out of gas in various places. Sometimes they're just running out of the regular grade, and people can buy the premium stuff, of course, for a higher price. But this is going to continue. And again, according to CNN, money and respected oil and well-sourced oil analysts around the world are basically speculating $5 a gallon of gasoline next Wednesday, by next Wednesday. So it's going to take a little bit of time, but it is going to be a powerful turn of events, and it's important, folks, to be on top of this. It's important to, you know, stay aware, stay prepared, and whatnot. Before we go to our guest today, Colonel Joe is on the phone.
There were inventors throughout the ages that could have invented a more efficient fuel, but they were crushed by the oil companies. Can you repeat that? My phone line's kind of breaking up.
Okay, basically, do you feel this weather anomaly that's going on right now, do you think it's created?
You know what they say, lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place? To me, I think it's very fishy that another Category 5 is heading in the same direction, and that the oil prices and the gas prices are going to spike up.
There you go.
So it's, to me, that is very fishy. But
yes.
You see, tonight I'm focused more on the psychological element, because guess what? This is going to affect people psychologically. This is going to open up the door for martial law in this country.
There you go.
People have got to know where they stand on the issues and know why that they stand on the issues. Have convictions. You know,
yeah, well,
concentration camp light. The only thing you don't have is the gas ovens and people getting shot in the head. That's the only difference between the centers of today and the Nazi concentration camps. Because,
yeah,
you see, it's like the frog being boiled in water.
Right.
You want to get the people acclimated so people can get used to groupthink. If you are not part of the collective, then you go to one of these places and it's not desirable. So the theme song is, to fit in, you got to read the program and go along with the program, which is a very sad commentary. And this great experiment called America, which lasted for 200 and something years, is on its way out.
Second storm. The first storm I was concerned about. I'm always concerned with weather because I know weather can be manipulated and maneuvered.
Oh, of course. I mean, they've been seeding clouds since the 50s. Basically, how ugly is this going to get? All this is, in essence, is damage control. How ugly can it get, and how ugly could it get?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question we have to be asking ourselves.
Guy, Zeph Daniel is our guest today, folks. He has been on the show probably more times than anyone else. He's been with me from the beginning. I have a feeling he'll be with me on the very last show that I ever do.
Can't be proven. Can't be proven. This weather anomaly that can't be proven is a great stage for microchipping everyone that leaves. It's a great stage for going house to house to disarm the population down there. What more is going to happen in the future? This is devastating our economy, while business and industry has gone to below the border and overseas as a result of the World Trade Organization and the UN system. The UN system is there. Here I found this quote. Several years ago, President Bush addressed the American Society of Newspaper Editors, and in his speech he advised fifth graders about how to prepare for the 21st century. Quote, get to know people who are your age, but who are different from you, people of a different racial or ethnic group, people of a different religion, because you're going to live in the most multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-religious democracy in human history, end quote. This article, or this portion of the book, Masters of Seduction, continues. The term democracy is, of course, not synonymous with impending dictatorship. That what Clinton is describing is his vision of the United States if he successfully completes his mission to replace America's future tradition and institutions with the primitive beliefs and customs of immigrants from communist countries and socialist third world nations. More on this as we progress. This is Thursday night. Tomorrow night, Darren Weeks. Look forward to hearing Darren, my friends. He's very, very good. He connects dots properly, and he's a great friend. We'll be back next Tuesday on First Amendment Radio. Support the network, listeners. It's one of the last ones. keep in mind, it needs your support.
The international voice of LaCive.
Where can we go from here? You know, the interest rates are going up. The economy is going down. Like I said, heating oil costs are going to be at an all-time high. People are going to be freezing to death this winter. Wars are going to be manufactured for further acquisition of natural resources. The draft will probably be implemented. A lot of people may join just because they need a job. They need something to do. It's going to get bad.
And look, this is what we've been talking about. I remember back when I was in the studio there in 2002.
You're exactly right. The powers that be, you know, they are striving to succeed, but perhaps don't realize that in their ideal realm of success, they'll be the only ones around, and they'll just cannibalize each other because no one will defer to anyone else for being smarter or better or more worthy to lead or more worthy for adulation or whatever. The traffic jam out of Galveston area is getting worse.
Yeah, I mean, it's solid. I can't remember what I told you. I think I told you about my friends that have gone 45 miles. We'll have a new one. My stepmother, who I just got off the phone with, 7 hours, 20 miles.
It's amazing.
That's some pretty darn slow traffic.
Darn slow.
So, but one of the interesting things is I talked to my mom. They haven't headed out of town yet. And they're actually saying that in the next 30 hours, it would be a very, very bad idea to leave town after that because... with some of these gusts and these bands that are going to be slapping, you know, people on the road, that you might as well just stay put. So
yeah, I mean that's a very important point. Rita, again, folks, Category 5, about 490 miles off the coast of Texas, but this thing, as we reported, is 370 miles, you know, in diameter. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, by like 2 a.m. tomorrow, when they show the projected path, they show you each little step along the way, and they show you the little, you know, hurricane symbol and the little number indicating its intensity, and they show you where it's going to be at each time. Well, given where they're pinpointing that, that means that by midnight you should start seeing those bands start hitting Texas. So that's, I mean, they got a good amount of time for people to get out, but, you know, if the roads are impassable, it's going to make it more difficult. But people, if you are listening, if you think this might affect you, get out while you can.
Right.
Thanks, Frank. I think this hurricane is really a Category 6.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this is going to prove to be the monster of monsters. And it got up to be, like, I think number 3 in the list of the most powerful hurricanes.
Yeah.
It looks like it's bypassing Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
It may move on. They judge that by the millibars. They have to get down to a certain amount of millibars.
Yes.
It's the highest. And this monster is headed right for these refineries. Can the refineries withstand it? I don't know. It seems like BP Amoco down there just seems to go, you know, it goes on fire every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, like the other day, you know, just like what happened a few months ago. And so definitely we're in oil game. Definitely they... You got to understand, you know, some people are actually looking forward to benefiting in the economy from all the money being spent on New Orleans. And so you just have to realize those games are being played, okay? And some people say that you destroy a couple of cities, you're going to have so much work going on, it's going to save the economy. There are those people that are of that ilk that believe that, because money will be being spent to restore, therefore people will be at work.
Mm.
I don't see how you destroy something by, I don't see how you lift up a nation by destroying its cities.
Yeah.
That's pretty desperate. And I believe a lot of this is just a smokescreen for the fact that the economy is bankrupt, that there really is, most people's jobs are illusions now. There's no purpose for them because, I know people working in industries where people just don't buy the products they make anymore.
Yeah.
But they're still going to work every day. But no one's buying the product. So it's just a matter of time before that catches up. At the same time, we don't really make that much stuff here. I'm talking about service. I'm talking about, you know, tech jobs and things like that that deal with computers, technology, software, and such.
Yeah.
But here on your show, we have a signal now for an imminent stock market crash, and probably next week. Why? Because we've had a head and shoulders top, and we've now gone below that shoulder line. Once you go back...
Evacuations from all these coastal regions...
it's a monster, Frank. It's going to grow bigger than the Caribbean, bigger than the Gulf itself.
It's
engulfing the Gulf,
and it's
headed to direct hit. It's more powerful than a whole, truckload of nukes, okay? That's what nature is built more powerful than nuclear weapons.
Oh, yeah, and you're absolutely right on, because you look at, I was looking at some stats here recently. September 11th cost about $30 billion and killed about, 2,500 people, something like that.
Right, right.
So, here we've got Katrina, which, took place in the span of a day and then a couple of days of aftermath-type stuff. Who knows? Thousands, though.
That's
thousands.
Unknown.
From what I've heard and some eyewitness accounts and things like that, it's going to be atrocious. $200 billion, cost of the Iraq War, $200 billion, another hurricane, probably on par, if not the death toll, which really doesn't cost anything. In fact, sometimes that might save money. You've got all these people evacuating, but the property damage should be probably on par with Katrina. So you're looking at about $200 billion. So
where's all that come from?
Well, how are they going to fund this? So, they're not raising taxes. Gas prices at $5 by next Wednesday. Stock market crash next week. All the refineries, this is not just crude oil for gasoline. This is also for diesel, for jet fuel. This is for the heating oil. So we might see people dying in the wintertime, rolling blackouts again coming up very soon. The truckers can't afford to get their products out to the stores.
Right.
They're going to have to raise prices. People can't afford to drive to the stores. So, you're absolutely right. I mean, the housing bubble's virtually popped. It's out of control, man.
What does it mean prophetically?
Yeah.
Okay.
Prophetically,
what it means is this nation is under judgment of a holy God. It's been predicted by legitimate prophetic voices for years. There's a lot of people that are suddenly going to be without resources and without ability to survive. And in the cities, people will be angry. They will not wait to soup lines. They are going to start rioting. And, there will be a military crackdown in those cities.
Yes.
And when there's a military crackdown, it means there'll be curfews. There'll be food distribution, but there'll be crime. There'll be a war. Say, in L.A., I can